Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. One of the elements that we had in the communion service was the cup of wine, which represented the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're commemorating or remembering what Christ has done for us. We do it as a memorial service and remembering this and thanking the Lord for what he has done. And this is key. As you read through Scripture, there are so many passages that speak of the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For example, like in 1 Peter, it says we're not redeemed with corruptible things. And he lists those corruptible things like a silver and gold and your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers. But he also says what we are redeemed by, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You can even go to another part in Scripture where it speaks of the saints that are there before the Lord's throne, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, which represents the cleansing that comes because when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on in the book of Revelation, again, it speaks of the saints. He says they overcame him, and that was the despotic Antichrist. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And so the shed blood of Jesus Christ is important. In fact, if we are not under the blood of Jesus Christ, we are condemned and we are separated. We are not forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And I guess I need to say something about under the blood, because he gave us that graphic image when they were coming out of the Exodus and they had to put the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts, and the people that by faith now they had to do this, believing that God would pass over them if they came under the blood that was on the doorposts. And when they were in the home, the death angel passed over and all the firstborn were destroyed by the death angel. Do you remember that? And so it's a graphic image of by faith they took that blood was sufficient so the death angel would pass them over. They came under the blood. And so when I'm talking about you and I coming under the blood of Jesus, that means we recognize that the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ is sufficient for our sins. And by faith, we stand under that testimony and that faith that sacrifice is sufficient for me and for me alone. And I need nothing else at all. In fact, you can trace the blood all the way through Scripture, and that's where I have you here in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. It says this, "And Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them." And some of you are saying, where's the blood in this passage? This is the first death, first physical death. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, death was one of the issues that came, and they will as soon they experience spiritual death, and they are going to have physical death in the future. But they witnessed the physical death of an animal that the Lord then killed so that they would have the garments or the skins that would cover them. And so you can see the first physical death, and I'll just go to chapter 4, because it seems as though God had established sacrifice and the shedding of blood as the only way to come to him. Because it says here in verse 3, in the process of time, or at the appointed time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. In other words, he brought a grain offering. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. In other words, he brought a blood sacrifice before the Lord, and it says here, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God had a prescribed order, and there was the first thing that they had to bring was an offering or a bloody offering before him, and that would be the only thing that would be accepted because it was portraying the Lord Jesus Christ who was going to come and shed his blood, the only thing that would be sufficient for our sins. We can keep on going. As we look at Exodus chapter 12, I want you to just go forward a little bit to Exodus chapter 12. The thread of the blood, the shed blood, is so, so important, because without this shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You can see it here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. And it says this, "The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat." In other words, that's where this is the Passover, where they had to come in under the blood. Verse 12, it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land." When the Lord passes over and he looks at you now, this is contemporary Christianity now, and you place your trust in Christ, when the Lord passes over, does he see the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you? Have you placed your trust in him? Are you under the blood, or have you just thought about, oh yes, and I think this is just Christianity, another club? Or have you actually placed your trust in Jesus Christ, and by faith, you have accepted his sacrifice for your sin and your sin only? Because there's nothing else that you could ever do except trust him. If you're not under the blood, you're just as they were here in the death angel. One day you will face death and you will face eternity separate from God. I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 1. Again, I said the blood is all the way through and the necessity of the shed blood, because it all points to Jesus Christ who fulfills these things. Leviticus chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. He says, "In his offering, a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, for he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for his sin." And so here we're beginning to see that the blood is sufficient. In fact, he says it right here in verse 5. "And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, some of us say, isn't that awful? Killing an animal and the shedding of blood and a bloody sacrifice. And some people, I've had people say to me, "I don't need a bloody sacrifice." Well, brother, you do. And you need the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you do not have that, and all those animal sacrifices and throughout the Old Testament all pointed to the one who is going to come, who is the Lamb of God that shed his blood for our sins. It is the only thing that God accepts for the covering of our sins. There is nothing else. And all these things point to that time. I want you to go forward to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. In verse 11, Leviticus 17, verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your sins, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." And so we find here that is very clear that it is the blood. It represents the very life that we have, and it is Christ who died in our place. Instead of us dying, he died for us. And because of this, we can have an everlasting life. It's a perfect picture of what is required of our sins, either your shed blood for your sins or a substitute for your sins. In the New Testament, I want you to go forward to the book of Romans, chapter 5. We don't have time to go through all the passages, hundreds and hundreds of passages that deal with this, but let's just go forward to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says this in verse 8, many of you have memorized it, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us," or he demonstrated, he showed his love toward us. And how did he do that? It says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Interesting word for. Christ died for. That word for literally means instead of. Christ died instead of us. He died in our place. He took our place. The wrath of God was poured out on him, and he accepted that sacrifice that Christ made for us rather than pouring out his wrath on us, because by faith we said, I want to be under his blood and accept that sacrifice for my sins, and there's no other way that I'll ever have that forgiveness. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 24, when the apostle, when John the Baptist, who wasn't the apostle, when John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ coming, he says, he pointed to Jesus. He recognized who he was. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. He is sufficient for the sins of all mankind. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody's saved. His sacrifice is just sufficient for all those sins. We have to trust him by faith to receive the forgiveness of sins. And then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're in Romans. Just go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. There's some benefits. A few benefits that I want to just give you in the time that we have remaining of the blood and of Jesus. Benefit number one. Because of his blood, because you understood that you were a sinner, that there was no other way that you would ever have the forgiveness of sins. There is no works that you could do. There's no aisle you could walk down. There's no water that you could be dumped under enough to wash away your sins. The only thing that could wipe away your sins is Jesus Christ and him alone. And you placed your trust in him. And notice now what it does when you place your trust in him. Verse 9. It says, much more than being now justified. Notice how we're justified before God. By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so we are justified before God, declared righteous, not because we are righteous, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are declared righteousness because we have placed ourselves under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are now have escaped the wrath of God that was due us because Christ paid for that instead of us. And so he says that God so loved us that he sent his son to do this for us. So we're justified by his blood, and we escape the wrath of God when we're under the blood of Jesus. I want you to go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. We're no longer condemned. Now, there's two passages I'm going to give you in this one. The first one is in verse 25, though. It says this. Whom God has sent forth, he's speaking of Jesus, that whom Jesus, God sent forth to be a propitiation. Can you all say that word? Propitiation. Isn't that great? I had to practice that. Yeah. Propitiation. First time I read it, I said, what? I can't believe that. But for God sent forth to be a satisfaction. That's what propitiation means. He satisfies God's wrath. Jesus, God has sent forth to be a propitiation, and notice how it's received through faith. It's by faith in what God has done by sending his son, and you're exclusively trusting him and in nothing else, his work for us. He says, in whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith. Notice faith in what though? His blood, his sacrifice, his atonement that was done for you. Faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. In other words, those Old Testament saints that placed their faith in God, not understanding all the things with the Old Testament sacrifices, but they're just placing, this is sufficient to take away my sin. And then also for us today in verse 26 to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. God is righteous alone, and only a righteous sacrifice is sufficient for our sins. And with that in mind, just go forward then to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. As a result of this, because you, if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, are no longer condemned. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because when you placed your trust in Jesus Christ, the sin has been taken away. No longer are you condemned. When you were walking before that, you were condemned already. But now that you have Jesus Christ, you are no longer condemned and no longer under the blood. I'm no longer under the wrath of God. There is a third thing. I want you to go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. You missed the first two. Acts chapter 20. First one, we're justified by his blood. Second thing is we're no longer condemned by God because of our faith in Christ's blood. And this is the third, we are purchased. When you place your trust in Christ, he says you were purchased. Interesting. Notice in verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The sacrifice that Christ made on the cross is sufficient, and it literally means he purchased us with his blood, or he acquired for himself. Because the very moment you placed your trust in him, you were placed into the body of Christ, and you were redeemed from this world that you would have been separated from God forever, and you were required unto the Lord, and he purchased unto himself. What a marvelous picture, because when you came under the blood, you became his child. An adopted son. We're purchased by his blood. We're justified by his blood. We're no longer condemned because of his blood. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. A fourth thing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He says this, in whom we have redemption. Not only we're purchased, but we're redeemed, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. To redeem literally means to be released from captivity. We were held captive by our sins, separated from God, and the very moment by faith we placed our trust in Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed, we have been released from the captivity that separated us from God, and now we can go into his very presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. We have been acquired unto the Lord for himself. He doesn't want us to be out there in doing anything else. And so later on, if you're going back into sin, you are disgracing and trodding underfoot the very blood of Jesus Christ that bought you in the first place. It always drives me crazy when I see Christians going out there and deliberately and continually trotting underfoot the very blood that they're claiming purchased them. They can't do that for long before the Lord will actually strike you dead, or you're just lying that you don't know the Lord. We have been redeemed. We have been justified. We have been purchased. We are no longer condemned by God because of his blood. You're in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are far away from the Father, and he called out to us, and we responded to this call, and we understood the great gospel message, and then we placed our trust in it. We came under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we were now drawn close to the Father. What a great relationship that we have. So we can come near to God because of his blood. He actually says it in a, look at just Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I think this verse is the best verse for me to give. We can come near to God. Verse 20 says this. He says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. In other words, we have peace. Do you understand? We not only we have peace with God, we can also find, because we have peace with God and our hearts won't continually be troubled because of the separation and the tension that we have before our Maker. But also we can have peace with man, but now we have peace with God because of his shed blood. And as a result of this, our Lord does another thing. He continually cleanses us. He says, wherefore, and like Hebrews chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. He says, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We have a marvelous God. Because of his blood, seven benefits. You've been justified. You've been purchased. You are no longer condemned. You are redeemed by his blood. You are able to come near to God because of his blood. You have peace with God because of his blood. And you are going to be continually cleansed because of the blood of the Lamb. Now the question is, are you under the blood? Have you made that decision by faith, trusting Jesus Christ? He is the Son of the living God. He is our author, our maker, our deliverer. He is all those things and much more. Have you come under the blood? The very thing that we actually illustrated with the memorial service. If you haven't, today's the day. It's simple. If he's been speaking to you and you're understanding this, you don't have to walk an aisle. Now, it's great if you do. I'd love to have you come forward and I'll sign someone to go and to pray with you, because it's good that you verify it with somebody else. Don't be afraid if that's the case. But come forward and we'll say someone, and we'll have someone go off and pray with you. Or right where you're seated, you can say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that this is true, and I recognize that there's no work that I can do. It's not a work. It's not being a church member. It's not being dunked in water. It's not walking an aisle. It's not doing good things to our neighbors and all that. Those things come later. But the thing that really saves me, and the only thing that saves me, is Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And Lord, I need to be under his shed blood. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I'm receiving. I want to receive this free gift that you've given me, Jesus Christ. If you haven't done it, today's the day. You can do it right where you're seated and say that, and then share with someone. So we'll pray with you. Let's make sure that's rock solid in your heart. If you're living outside of those guidelines, and you know, you're say you're saved and you're under the blood, and then you're doing sinful things. The second thing is, what in the world are you doing? You've been purchased. You've been acquired by the blood of Jesus Christ unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going out and doing what? Tell me again, how can you justify that? In what way? Give me 10 verses. Give me one verse that justifies you in doing that. There should be no reason at all for us to go outside. And then if we slip and fall because of sin, we should say, Lord, forgive me of my sin and come back to him, because he loves us so much. But to trot it underfoot and continually do that, that's a dangerous place to be, if not being just plain old-fashioned unredeemed. That's what the unredeemed do. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do, are you living for him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that we're able to come again to you and to remember the great work that you've done. And apart from your Son, Father, where will we be? We would be lost in our own sin, condemned already. And yet, because of the great work that you have done, we can know you. We can be your children. And Father, if there's someone here who does not know you, I pray that you'll speak to them today, that they'll respond to you. Make it known to others, or even come forward that we can pray with them. And we thank you for this now. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.